Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Good morning. Please be seated. Our first case this morning is 2022-0244, State X Rel Fair Housing Opportunities of Northwest Ohio versus the Ohio Fair Plan. For the appellant, Mr. James. Good morning.
Good morning, Chief Justice and honorable members of this court. My name is Larry James, representing the Ohio Fair Plan. With me is Chris Green, the law firm of Crabb, Brown, James. First, I want to talk about some background issues on the regulatory oversight, because I think the appellee and the Court of Appeals relied on that oversight. I have the good fortunes or misfortunes of being on board of directors of a new minority bank, and I can tell you the regulatory oversight is onerous. As this court is aware, also Department of Insurance regulates all private insurance companies. The one that I would like to bring the attention to the court is the Bureau of Motor Vehicles on dealer license. That is a private enterprise where disputes between a dealer and a manufacturer is heard by a designated hearing examiner appointed by the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. I had the good fortunes of a number of years being one of those hearing examiners, and we make the decision of whether or not the dealer is going to be terminated, and if it is terminated, they have the right to appeal to the Court of Appeals. That's one of the situations we have in this matter. Going to our case before us, I'd bring to the court's attention the letter of April 9, 2020, which is Exhibit 1 in the appellee's exhibit in the Court of Appeals. That letter was directed to the Ohio Fair Plan, and it requested a number of items, five different items in subsections. We had provided, in response to that request, all of the items that we are required to file with the Department of Insurance. For instance, under 3901-1-18, we are required to file underwriting standards, underwriting guidelines, rating plans, any changes to the rates to be implemented by the member insureds, reinsurance proposal, and also expense loss ratio. So the fact that we are required to respond to the Department of Insurance does not make the Fair Plan a public entity for the purposes of public records requests. Amended House Bill 45 amended Section 392943, and it also included in those other entities such as the Ohio Insurance Guarantee Association, the Life Health Guarantee Association, the Ohio Automobile Insurance Plan, and the Ohio Fair Plan. What that did is just clarify the issue of public records. It was specifically amended so whatever ambiguity that was there is no longer. The statute as amended says specifically that other than those items that are required to produce to the Ohio Department of Insurance are not subject to public records requests. The Fair Plan is a private entity. It's been in existence since 1968. And we would respectfully request that the decision of the Court of Appeals be reversed. I'll reserve what time I have left because I'm not certain what the position of the appellee is in this case. When we initially got the letter, we started communicating back and forth, and we produced those items that we thought met the requirement of a public records, all those I've gone over. When we
Didn't they just say we are not a public agency?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Isn't their position they are not a public agency subject to the public records request?
Correct. That is our position.
No, but I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm getting my parties mixed up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I think if we look at the history of the Ohio FAIR Plan, this is a case of first impression in addition. We have never dealt with this issue before. So again, as I was starting to say, when we got into the discussions with appellee asking the question, what are the documents you want to see or review or receive, in their filing on the supplemental filing, they indicated that they directed to J2 of the amendment on amended House Bill 45. We agree with that position. We agree with the proposition in J2 that says all those documents that we're required to submit to the Department of Insurance are fair game and we should produce those. The other option is appellee could go directly to the Department of Insurance and request those records. So with that, I would reserve my last 9 minutes.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Can you discuss briefly the functional equivalency test of Oriana House versus Montgomery and why that would not apply in this situation?
Well, we believe it does, and we believe it fits us. And under that examination, we believe we would be exempt from that public request, whether the entity performs a government function. We do not. The level of government funding, we receive none. The extent of government involvement or regulations, as I said, with banking, insurance, and motor vehicles, we would still believe that we would be exempt. And the last one, whether entity was created by the government to avoid the requirements of Public Records Act. Again, we believe the totality of that examination is decided in our favor, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll reserve a time. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Thomas.
Good morning, and Chief Justice Kennedy, and may it please the court, I request 4 minutes for rebuttal as a cross appellant. First, I will very briefly discuss Ohio FAIR Plan as a public office, and then I'll immediately turn to House Bill 45 and how that new law makes it now even more apparent that Ohio FAIR Plan must respond to our public records requests. Ohio's legislator enacted this office for a statutory determined public purpose. It holds a unique governmental power to forcibly assess private insurance companies to fund its operations. Its decisions are subject to an administrative appeal process, just as other government offices under revised Code 119. Even its plan of operation is itself implemented as regulations of the state of Ohio. Even the times and locations of Ohio FAIR Plan's meetings are determined by the Ohio Administrative Code. For these reasons and many others that we very thoroughly outline in our briefs, Ohio FAIR Plan is undoubtedly a public office.
What about the factors that Mr. James just spoke of, the Oriana House factors?
Yes, Your Honor, I can certainly speak to those. First, it's important to point out that Ohio FAIR Plan is obviously a public office enacted by statute, so the functional equivalency test under Oriana House would just not apply here, but I will walk through those factors in case this court would like to understand those factors, how they would apply here. But it's very important that this fact that Ohio FAIR Plan does not fall within the functional equivalency test is now made even more apparent by House Bill 45, which now explicitly references the Public Records Act and indicates how records are required to be filed with the superintendent insurance are indeed available for public records requests. But to be clear, Oriana House, the intention with that was nonprofit agencies, things that were created perhaps privately that are functionally equivalent to a government office. That's just not the case here. This was created by statute. There's an administrative appeal process. All those reasons we've outlined in our brief and I've listed here make it apparent that it is a public office. But those factors, whether the entity performs a governmental function, well, its function is specifically determined by the statute that created it. It wasn't incorporated by any private citizen. It's not a nonprofit incorporation. It's not an unincorporated association. It was created by Ohio's legislature for the purpose that it was determined in state law. Second, the level of government funding. Well, Ohio Fair Plan has a unique power to fund its operations by assessing private insurance companies. Third, the extent of government involvement or regulation. It's impossible to distinguish Ohio Fair Plan from being a government entity. Its entire plan, its mode of operation is regulations of the state of Ohio. Even the rates at which it charges for its insurance policies are directly determined by the superintendent of insurance, not by the private market. Fourth, whether the entity was created by the government to avoid regulation or to avoid regulations of the Public Records Act. Well, to be clear, Ohio Fair Plan was indeed created by the government. It was enacted by Ohio's legislature. Again, though, to be clear, we do not believe that the Oriana House test should apply here. The correct standard is to see that it's very apparent the Ohio Fair Plan is a public office for the reasons that I outlined. Now I'd like to turn to House Bill 45. This new law explicitly provides that OFP's records are subject to 149.43. This powerfully undermines all of Ohio Fair Plan's briefing up to this point. Their position has been that we're not a public office and therefore not subject to public records requests, but now Ohio's legislature has made it very clear under J2 of the new section that any, quote, information required to be filed with the superintendent under this chapter is indeed subject to public records requests. All of the information that we have requested in our public records requests would fall within that.
Wait a second. So
yes.
If this is information that's, if all you're asking for is information that's required to be filed with the director, why wouldn't you just ask for it from the director?
Yes, Your Honor. It's important to note that the language that the legislator used was a future tense, required to be filed. It's not necessarily, they could have drafted it as this is information that is already currently on file with the superintendent of insurance, or they could have blocked any records request at all. But they broadly opened the door to any information that could be required to be filed in a future tense with the superintendent of insurance.
You've lost me. Is this information that's required to be filed or not?
It is, Your Honor, under that same chapter at 3929.45, which says the superintendent of insurance or any person designated by him may visit and examine into the operation of the Fair Plan Underwriting Association and shall have free access to all the books, records, files, papers, and documents.
That seems different than saying something's required to be filed. To say that the director can inspect your books is different than saying that these are things that are required to be filed.
I believe that the correct interpretation of the statute would be this future tense of to be filed would include what's identified in .45. And I suggest, Your Honor, there's really four main principles of interpretation that are well established by this court's prior precedent that should lead us to that conclusion. First principle, the burden is on the public office to clearly establish the applicability of an exception. This court held that in Welsh Huggins versus Jefferson County Prosecutor's Office. That was recently in 2020. So in other words, Ohio Fair Plan has here today now the burden.
But first you have to show that they're a public office, right, for that to apply.
And it's our position that we've clearly shown that they are a public office.
The issue is whether they're a public office, so.
That was the issue in the original briefing. However, I would suggest, Your Honor, that J2 now makes it apparent that it opens the door to many forms of records that we could request that are required to be filed with the superintendent of insurance, which includes the records that we've requested.
So explain that, because you said, and I wrote it down, any information that is required to be filed with the superintendent.
Yes, Your Honor.
It's not everything. It's just those documents that they have to file with the Department of Insurance, the superintendent. So to Justice DeWine's question, why don't you simply just ask the superintendent?
Because it's a future tense, Your Honor. They're not necessarily records that have already been filed. The legislature could have drafted it in that way, but they chose to have that future tense of required to be filed. And indeed, the superintendent can require those under .45, under .49, and other sections of the administrative code.
Well, unless I misunderstood what Mr. James just said this morning, he said anything that they're required to file and turn over to the superintendent, he agrees that that is a public record because it's in a public office. They're not a public office, so you disagree with that.
I would disagree with the point that, one, that first, they clearly are a public office for the reasons that I was previously listing. And second, the information we're requesting is not necessarily information already or currently on file. It's information that's required to be filed in the future, in the future tense. So they very well could have records that could be required to be filed but aren't yet on file with the superintendent. J2 would cover those records. The records we're requesting are related to the operation of this public office. They're related to its public purpose, and they're records that the superintendent of insurance could require to be filed with them, though so, they have not yet, as far as we know.
Is there a regular filing schedule for Ohio Fair Plan to file with the Department of Insurance?
Well, thank you for that question, Your Honor. So to be clear, like, for example, at 3929.45, there is no specific time frame that the superintendent of insurance could immediately request all of the records, for example, that we've been requesting. So as I was outlining, quoting that section previously, they have broad access to any of the records that would show how it's operating in Ohio, which is an important question. How is this important public office functioning? The superintendent of insurance can require those to be filed with that office, though we have no information to indicate that's happening.
So
yet.
If the superintendent of insurance doesn't request documents, there's not a routine filing schedule where they're sent in?
There are, I believe, for some documents, not necessarily the ones that we're requesting, though the superintendent of insurance could at any time require those to be filed with the superintendent, and that's why they're subject to J2, and therefore we should be able to access them.
Has there been a process to ask the superintendent of insurance to request them?
No, there hasn't yet, Your Honor, because, one, we do not know that the records we're specifically seeking have already currently been filed with the superintendent, one, and two, House Bill 45 was only very recently adopted, which would change the structure of how this would function. But in any case, the appropriate entity to direct our records requests to would be the Ohio Fair Plan, because they have the more detailed records about its operation for its public purpose that Sunshine Law should be able to cast a light on. We should be able to gather those records directly from that office.
So with the to be filed language, is it possible that the Ohio Fair Plan could take the position that anything before the law became effective that they haven't filed with the superintendent of insurance, they don't have to provide to you?
I don't believe so, because as I was outlining, point 4.5 and other sections of the administrative code make it very clear that many records related specifically to its operation. Now, there's other records, perhaps like employment records, HR records, other records they might hold that aren't related to its operation for its public purpose that might not fall into J2 and therefore would fall into J1's more general exception. Those perhaps they could conceal. The records we're seeking, though, they should be able to provide those. And if I may, Your Honor, I think part of the answer to those questions, too, is the principles I was listing that should guide this court in interpreting J1 and J2. The second principle, not just that they have the burden of proof, but the second principle, too, is that exceptions from disclosure must be narrowly construed. This court held that in National Broadcasting Company versus City of Cleveland, or, for example, the 8th District held that in Kinsley versus Berea Board of Education. So, in other words, not only do they have the burden of proof to show the exception of the public records law, the exception has to be narrowly construed in favor of disclosure, which is consistent with the position that we're taking on how you should interpret that section. Third principle, this court must liberally construe public records laws and resolve any doubt in favor of access. It's our position that clearly the legislator was aware of what was in the chapter. They drafted this with a very broad opening for us to request the kinds of records that we're seeking. But if there were any doubt, though, that doubt must be resolved in favor of the person requesting records. Fourth principle I'll just mention very briefly is that the construction of the statute should not render any other provision of the statute meaningless or inoperative. There's a section of the chapter, point 4.8, 3929.48, that has a very narrow exception to public records laws. We discussed this section in our brief, not for a different purpose, but it has a very narrow exception just for records or a documentation that was created on an on-site inspection of a property. That exception would have no meaning, it would have no purpose if you took Ohio Fair Plan's position and say, well, all of these records are just excluded. It would render render that section completely meaningless. A better interpretation is, one, generally, yes, records are prevented from disclosure, can be concealed, employment records, other records, but that exception at J2 needs to be broadly understood to allow access to these important public records that we seek. And then third, there's this narrow exception only that's identified in 0.48. That would be a clear, logical understanding of how the statute should be interpreted and consistent with this court's prior rulings on the how to interpret public records law. I will reserve the balance of my time. Thank you, Justices.
Thank you. Mr. James.
Thank you, Your Honors. First of all, the FAIR Plan has been around since 1968. What is urged by counsel in all those time it has been in existence, none of the records have ever been requested by the Superintendent of Insurance.
Counsel, in 1968, instead of a statute, the insurance companies had gotten together and created this entity.
Correct.
That'd be a violation of law, wouldn't it?
If they did it, yes.
So it's got to be by statute.
Absolutely.
To protect it from.
You don't want any antitrust violations going on.
Or McCarran Act, Valentine Act, yeah. Any of that stuff.
Yes.
Right? So if it must be created by statute, if you're not a public agency, couldn't you get sued for those right now? If you're right.
The insurers have the right to sue
the public, just a violation of division of market or whatever. If you're not a public agency, why couldn't they sue you for that?
They could sue us for redlining. We have been sued for redlining. Matter of fact, I was involved with the case when they did that, along the same year Nationwide got sued for redlining.
Okay.
At page 31 of the legislative service analysis of this bill, public insurance.
During those cases, did you allege that you were protected because you were created by statute?
Immunity did not work, Your Honor.
But you raised it.
I don't think we did. I mean, it wasn't an option, quite honestly.
Okay.
Wasn't an option.
Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. At page 31 of the legislative service, public insurance entities and public records requests, and they're talking about amended House Bill 45, and it reads, the Act exempts, with certain exceptions, records created, held, or pertaining to the following entities from public records requests. That is, the Ohio Insurance Guarantee Association. Included in that is the Ohio FAIR Plan Underwriters Association. Under the Act, these records are confidential and not subject to disclosure or release. That is the analysis. The other thing I would say and suggest that there's a privacy right. These are insureds under, like any other insurance company. The last thing, not
there, on the privacy and the confidentiality of the records or the information, is there a particular statute that protects them?
No, there isn't a statute that says this is a private right. But if we were to disclose, and I remember when we were adjudicating the Joint Underwriters Association, we went to court to get a court order before we would turn over any information to anyone for any purpose relative to those insureds.
And so, essentially, you're claiming the privacy of those insureds because you would anticipate litigation if you would turn those records over. Is that correct?
That is one of the things that we would be extremely cautious about, Your Honor. We don't know how that would finally be adjudicated, but as abundance of caution, we would not readily turn. You know, this is the insurance of last resort for individuals who credit worthiness or what have you. And there have been changes in the statute as to how people qualify. So the FAIR Plan's position is, if we get an application and it meets the requirements, we insure. Now, vacant and abandoned buildings and things of that sort, we would not insure. But we worry about that privacy issue as well.
Normally, when you're dealing with people in poverty, it's a great number of people. So is it as much of a concern about market share at low margins as it is their privacy?
I think under the current market, our policyholders are probably at their all-time lowest. So they're finding insurance in the regular market. Having said that, you still have a small percentage of individuals who are not able to secure insurance from the regular providers in the marketplace. So our treatment of our insured is to protect that privacy. Now, maybe we're going a bit overboard, but I think that is our policy that has been set by the board.
Thank you.
The other thing, the last thing I would say, Minnesota. So the Court of Appeals, we cited cases from Minnesota, Montana, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Louisiana. Those courts have said that their FAIR plans, who are almost identical to our plan, are not subject to public records requests. The Court of Appeals responds, well, we don't care about that. We don't care about those cases. So I would lastly just to suggest, Your Honor, I think it's a pretty straightforward case. I think when you look at the amended House Bill 45 and the legislative office, the budget office as well, who indicated explicitly that this act was created so that these records would remain confidential and not subject to public requests. Thank you, and I would respectfully request you reverse the Court of Appeals. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas, you have 2 minutes, 17 seconds.
Thank you, Chief Justice Kennedy. May it please the court. The analysis, the Legislative Service Commission's analysis, doesn't just say what my opponent just listed. They also stress it. They also indicate the exception at J2, and their wording of that exception is essentially identical to the plain language at J2. Which, again, to be clear, like the legislator could have written this in many different ways. We must assume that they were one aware of this court's prior precedent on how to interpret exceptions to public records laws, those four principles that I listed earlier. We must assume that they knew what was in this chapter, too, because they specifically said other records required to be filed under this chapter, and they must have known that 0.45 and 0.49 of the same chapter explicitly allow very broad access and many records to be required to be filed with the superintendent of insurance. So taking into consideration this court's past precedent, this emphasis that the legislator had in creating the public records laws to ensure access to public records such as the ones that we're seeking, we must assume the legislator could have said they're not responsible for any public records.
Mr. Thomas.
Yes, Your Honor.
You've received some documents from OFP. Do you have any sense that the documents you haven't received are actually held by OFP, because you do have to establish a clear legal right in mandamus.
Yes, Your Honor. There's no question that the documents we seek would be available to them. They weren't included, for example, requests for a search of their email system, just to better understand how certain items would be interpreted, or just as one very obvious would be, what are the addresses of properties that were insured? Of course, they would certainly have that kind of information that
so
we're requesting.
What is your response to what Mr. James just said about the privacy of these individuals?
Yes, Your Honor. It's important to emphasize that, indeed, there is no statute in particular that would disqualify this information from disclosure. There's no particular privacy section that would apply. And indeed, these kinds of records are generally have been available in other contexts that we should be able to obtain, like addresses of where properties are insured. And I know that my time has expired, but just to wrap up, it's extremely important that we have exactly that information too. What are the addresses where this occurred, so we can map that out, so we can better understand how this very, very important public office is functioning. That's how Ohio Sunshine Laws were intended to function in this context. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll receive a decision from the court.